Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 21 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Banks.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're here to give you the rundown of all the things that have been happening over at attractionsmagazine.com and in life in general. Now, for those of you that may have seen this pop up in your feed and be like, wait a minute, 21, where are the first 20 episodes? That is because this episode marks the first episode that we're releasing to the public wide. We've been doing this podcast now for half a year, for about 6 months, and it has been subscriber only for our subscribers over at attractionsmagazine.com, and it will continue in that fashion. What I'm planning on doing is we'll release a podcast episode every Monday for our subscribers, and then on Tuesday it will go out for the public. We just want to get we want to try to get a wider audience and get more people listening to our thoughts on the news and things and get more feedback as well.
Yeah.
So this is going to be, and I'm sure we're also going to do some special podcasts as well just for the subscribers, like maybe a spoiler cast and things like that that only they can listen to. So if you want to subscribe to us, it's not just the podcast. We've got also other incentives, like you get to see the show early. You get every back issue of the magazine, depending on what tier you subscribe to. You could even get a mystery merch box. Lots of cool things. So check that out at attractionsmagazine.com/store. And we're excited to have more people listening.
Yeah, I think this will only bring good things.
Exactly. So, and also we're going to say the first 20 episodes of the podcast will only be for subscribers. So if you want to go and listen to those first 20 episodes, you can always subscribe to us to hear those. But we're going to move on and we'll find out what's good. So, Brittany, what's going on?
Well, the Oscars were last night. We'll get to that later, but I watched the whole thing and live tweeted it over on Super Yaki and had a grand old time.
It looked like it.
Yeah, I was having lots of fun. Lots of people enjoyed my Twitter humor. So go check it out.
Takes.
Yeah, I had some hot takes, and everyone that I wanted to win won except for one unfortunate situation.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
We'll get to that. But other than that, I'm just kind of biding my time until I go to Orlando. It's like the one thing I'm like looking toward the horizon for right now.
Yeah, it's coming up pretty quickly too, the end of the month, right?
Yeah, not this week or next week, but the week after that, I think.
And y'all have already planned. You've already got your fast passes for Mickey and Minnie.
Yep. I don't know how Josh did it, but he got us like a fast pass.
He was on it.
He told me that they were up before I even saw it on social or anything. He was like, oh, I got a fast pass for Mickey Minnie. I was like, how'd you do that?
So, yeah, you got that for opening, right? Opening day?
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing we couldn't get was Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. But he's found this website that tracks like boarding groups for rides and I guess wait times for Falcon too, and he checks it every day to see like what's the highest group number that they got to for Rise or how long were the waits at Smuggler's Run, and Standby doesn't look horrible.
Well, here's the thing with that. That's because right now they're judging the metrics on the fact that right now there's still no fast pass for Smugglers, so the Standby does move fast. Guarantee you, and I think it's actually this week. Fast passes start this week, I believe. I think we're going to see the Standby time go up, and the wait for Standby won't be as quick as it has been.
Kill me.
I know. I hate it too, because we talked about it when they announced the fast passes in an earlier episode. But I hate that they're adding fast pass to this, because it's that line does move. Even if it's posted 60 minutes, I've maybe waited 40 minutes because there's no fast pass to, you know, at Merge. You just go right in. It's got a good capacity, so this is really going to kill that Standby. And it's I wish you two the best of luck. Maybe y'all can try and hopefully get one.
I just, Fastpass at Walt Disney World is so broken.
Yeah.
And like we, when we went to Disneyland last, we used MaxPass. That's amazing.
No, that, I love MaxPass.
That is a great skip the line service, and it works, and it works well. Walt Disney World, no.
No, I miss the days of the paper.
It's just when everyone can get a fast pass on their phone for free, and I hate to be the guy that's like, put it behind a paywall. Maybe you should.
Yeah, no, I agree. Maybe, you know, maybe not a big paywall, but like $5-$10 at most.
I think MaxPass is $15 now.
That's yeah.
Not bad.
No, it's not. And it works. And you get the rides that you want to ride.
Ugh, another discussion for another time.
Exactly. just keep checking that website every day until you get here. Maybe you'll luck out.
Yeah, here's hoping.
Yeah. It's been pretty busy. Things just, you know, they get busy, they slow down, they get busy, they slow down. We went and ate at CityWorks. I'll talk about that in News in the Queue yesterday. That was really good. Super Bowl parade was last week. Got to see Patrick Mahomes here in person after his big Super Bowl win. That's always a fun parade to do. It's you know, just with all my friends from other outlets, and we just kind of stand there and we get to see the superstar and then talk to him and we head out. They call that, there's a section of the hub when you're walking into the hub and you see the partner statue and you go to the right toward Tomorrowland, that first curve between Main Street and Tomorrowland, they call that Super Bowl corner because that is where we always go. They set the media up for to film the Super Bowl parade. So that's a little behind the scenes tidbit for you.
I saw a thing the other day where Patrick Mahomes has officially broken the Madden curse. Have you heard about this before?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so the Madden curse is like this superstitious thing where whichever player is chosen to be on the cover of the that year's Madden video game, mm-hmm. they always have a really bad season. Always. Yeah. This year, he freaking won the Super Bowl, and he was on the cover of this year's game.
Boom. There you go. Curse broken. Yay. I don't believe in the curses. Do you?
No. It just seems like it gets in your head and then you're like, oh.
Exactly.
Now I have to have a really good season. And then you kind of sabotage yourself.
Exactly. So yeah, not really much going on. Not doing much this week either. We're going to see Fantasmic tonight. It's been a while. We're going to get some video of it, put it up on the YouTube channel.
Love that show.
Yeah, I love Disneyland's.
Yeah, I love Disneyland's. I love if I could take the mountain, but put it behind like Rivers of America and like have all of Disneyland's extra stuff with the projection mapping and everything, then it would be perfect.
Yeah, maybe one day they'll do an update of ours.
Oh, God. Wasn't there a rumor or something that it was supposed to get refurbed and then that didn't happen?
I think these rumors are just wishful thinking. If it's just everyone spreading a quote-unquote rumor in hopes that Disney's like, oh, I guess people are talking about it. Let's do it.
Well, let's put out some good Fantasmic vibes in the universe and manifest a refurb. And then maybe it'll happen.
I think because, you know, with Mickey and Minnie opening next month and that kind of completes the transformation of Hollywood Studios. I think if you really want to, you know, drive the nail in is to update Fantasmic and then Hollywood Studios will be complete.
Yes. And it's a Mickey thing. So you could like tie it in and it would be so good, especially if they like my dream, Chernabog, big animatronic, like real big.
Oh, pops up behind the mountain.
Yeah, you would just build like from the torso up, but he would like have arms that like move and latch on, and then he like pulls himself up.
And then one arm raises up and fire shoots out the hand.
Yes, and then you get rid of Pocahontas because that whole thing could be deemed culturally insensitive, so we need to move on.
Yep.
And then and then add. Like, more modern IP, like Princess and the Frog or something. Do like a Friends on the Other Side bit and Frozen.
Even that's almost dated now because that's like over a decade old. Like No, you wanted maybe...
Or Moana?
Like, that's, oh, I was about to say Moana, exactly. Moana up there on the top of the mountain.
That would listen.
And then like Taka in the water and yes. the fire. Oh my gosh.
Disney, hire us. We have such good ideas.
We say this every week. They don't listen. Although now that it's public, maybe they will listen.
Hey, listen, this is just the first step.
All right. Well, we got some news to talk about. Speaking of Hollywood Studios, the first bit of news at the News in the Queue. Choo-choo-choo.
All right. We are starting off this News in the Queue with some news that people are happy about.
Wait, Disney announcing something that people are happy about?
Shocking. I know. And it's only because something is going away.
And this is the opposite of when Disney closes something. Usually it's tears and I'm going to boycott.
Right. But this time people are like, thank God, I hate it. And now it's going away. Disney confirmed to us last week that the character-filled glorified fashion show, Star Wars Galaxy Far, Far Away, is closing at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Bye-bye.
Never to be seen again.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. See you
soon. If you don't know what this show is, it's presented on three mobile stages. They're like parade floats, and they drive them in and drive them out for every show. And you see the various characters from throughout the Skywalker saga make an appearance. And they kind of just, they walk out to a scene, and then they do like a hit, and there's like some pyro or like a big musical moment, and then they walk off stage, and then the next person comes. It's literally kind of structured like a fashion show.
Yeah.
You can't meet them. Sometimes you'll see them walking by you, and if there's like a child or something, they might go up to the kid. But you can't meet them, can't interact with them. There's no storyline. There's nothing. There's no timeline continuity like with Galaxy's Edge. They're just all there. And it used to be presented, or I guess it still is presented, in front of the Chinese Theater. Mm-hmm. We don't have a closing date for it, but there are rumors that it will close the week before the scheduled opening for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which is March 4th. So if you like this show, maybe go see it before the week before the 4th.
Yeah, I mean, that was a one and done show. I watch it once, and then if I ever see it, it's because I'm walking by it to go somewhere else.
Right. I miss when they updated it for the movies, because like when they first did it, this was before like Rogue One came out, and only Force Awakens was out at the time. But they took so long to add Rey to the show.
Yeah.
And then for Rogue One, they added the Death Troopers, and then for Solo, they just added a new part for Chewie. And then Last Jedi, they added Porgs, but they're like on screen and not physical Porgs. They didn't change Rey's costume. They didn't bring Kylo Sans mask. And then for Last Jedi, I don't know if they've added anything, because there's
for Rise, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, no, they didn't. And obviously obviously they're not going to. That's probably why they didn't, because they knew like they're going to close it soon.
Yeah. So, It is what it is. Yeah.
It's served its purpose. Its purpose was to add a little bit more Star Wars while other parts of the park were closed and being built. But now that Galaxy's Edge is open, there's no need for it anymore. And honestly, same with Launch Bay. I think it's time to get rid of Launch Bay too, because that's some prime real estate. They could put something else there. And just kind of confine Star Wars to its own section of the park, because when you have Star Wars like in every land, then it doesn't feel like Hollywood Studios. It feels like Star Wars Studios. So I'm happy they're getting rid of this show. I'm hopeful that Launch Bay's next. Don't know when that would be, but we'll see.
Yeah. The only thing I think is unfortunate about this closing is that many of the characters, you probably won't ever get to see them again.
This is true, especially like Darth Maul. Like,
yeah,
he never made any appearances really outside of Star Wars Weekends.
Yeah, and what they can't bring him into Galaxy's Edge. They can't bring Boba Fett. Can't bring Phasma.
Can't bring the Death Troopers.
Right. So what's the point of having them? And I think that would be where Launch Bay would come into play if they keep it, you know. That would be the only way to make use of that space would be to have that be where guests can meet these legacy characters that you can't get in Galaxy's Edge.
Or hey Brittany, here's an idea. How about now that everything's done, bring back Star Wars Weekends?
That's too good of an idea. They won't listen to that.
Ah, that's right. True. All right, what else?
All right, what else? Legoland Florida is upping their vacation game and has launched an all-exclusive vacation package for stays starting April 17th.
Tell me what's in this all-inclusive vacation package, Brittany.
All right, so you get a stay at one of their on-site hotels, unlimited admission to Legoland Florida's theme park and water park during the stay. You get breakfast and dinner at one of four hotel restaurants, plus lunch at any of the theme park or water park's 10 restaurants, as well as unlimited mini golf at Florida's Wildside Mini Golf at the resort. You also get valet parking, their photo pass-esque photo package, and unlimited Coca-Cola refill, freestyle refills, and a souvenir cup that you're given. You also get a credential lanyard that has all of these benefits identified, which makes it easy in case you forget.
I think this is awesome.
Yeah, you're like a Legoland guy, and I know Spencer loves Legoland, so this is like built for you.
No, I think this is like such a great package because with the new Pirate Island Hotel opening up on that first day, April 17th, it's just so much to see and do there. And it's not a place you want to spend a week. Not at all. Like, Legoland is great for 2 days. Like, you can do the park one day and the water park the next day, or mix it both days. Like, it's a good couple day destination, and that's what they want. They just want people to be able to, you know, come out for a couple days from their, you know, Disney Universal vacation and spend some time there. And so I think this vacation package is probably going to be a great draw for those guests that, you know, are going to Disney that may want to try something new. They could take advantage of this package, stay on site for a couple days, and then go back to their hotels over at Disney.
Yeah, and I mean, talking about price, this whole thing, everything that I listed, it's all available starting at $219 per person, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's Legoland, I feel, is one of the best deals in Central Florida. Them and SeaWorld, they always have some really great deals going on for locals and for, you know, tourists. So if you've never been to Legoland, honestly, go out there because there's a lot of great things to see and do, especially if you have kids. They've always said that the park is built for kids 2 to 12, and it really is. A lot of the rides do gear toward the younger kids, but there's still plenty for adults to do, especially if you love Lego. Lots to see, a lot of cool models, shows. There are some bigger rides that adults will love. Masters of Flight is probably my favorite ride there at Legoland, which is their new Lego Movie ride. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just like, give them a chance. Get out there and take advantage of this, because three hotels. You got Legoland Hotel, Pirate Island, and Lego Beach. And all three are great location right there next to the park. Got great benefits at those hotels themselves that you can take advantage of. So definitely go check them out.
Yeah, Vincent and I, back when we hosted Early Night Live, we did an episode at Legoland. And it was a blast. We had a great time.
Mm-hmm. They even like came out and gave you guys like Lego versions of yourselves.
Yeah, I have it sitting people on my PC tower with my other figure collections.
Love it.
Yeah, on display. Okay, next up, this is Banks' whole dealio from last week. Disney Springs has opened a brand new restaurant next to the NBA experience called City Works Eatery and Poor House. Not poor as in you're poor, haha. But poor as in pouring a drink.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Oh, yes, I should probably talk at this point, shouldn't I? yeah, so it's like Brittany says, new restaurant right there. Think of it like it used to be like the gift shop for Disney Quest, that corner right there by Cirque du Soleil. It's pretty nice. They got lots of TV screens in there, so it's definitely gonna be a place to catch some sports and catch some games, not just basketball, but like any kind of sport. They got a walk-up bar. If you just want to grab a drink, you can just go up to the bar and sit down. You don't have to have a reservation. But they have a really extensive menu that has over 70 craft beers on tap, and there's some good stuff there. We had, full disclosure, they invited us out there to have a meal on them yesterday. So I took Sydney and the kids. I got a black cherry cider, and it was so sweet and so good. I loved that. And she got a mint martini that she loved. I got the bacon cheeseburger, which this bacon cheeseburger, listen, I love bacon. And, you know, I've had bacon cheeseburgers a lot, and, you know, sometimes they pile bacon on, but it's like thin and it's hard to taste. This bacon, there are only two strips of bacon on this burger, but it was so thick. It was almost hard to chew through, and it was so good. Oh, so, so, so good. We had a baked cookie dough for dessert, which you think cookie dough baked, isn't that a cookie? It's kind of like it's in this like mini skillet, and it's kind of like a mixture. Like it's that point between raw cookie dough and a full blown cookie where it is baked, but it's not hardened. And so you have that cookie dough taste, because the taste of between a cookie dough and a regular cookie, there is a difference between that taste.
Yeah.
And with the baked cookie dough, you get the best of both tastes. It's like so chewy and so good. Highly recommend that dessert. Anyway, just got some, you know, standard, you know, appetizers. I got some southern fried popcorn chicken. Sydney got some fried pickles. We had a really good meal there. Everything we had was excellent. There's still more we would love to go back and try in the future. So I think this is going to be a hit for Disney Springs, especially for that end of Disney Springs. Because aside from like B.B. King's and Haleo, there's not that many dining options on that end of Disney Springs. They're kind of mainly, you know, Marketplace and the Landing. That's where all the main restaurants are. But, you know, now you got this along with B.B. King's and Haleo. I know there's another restaurant being built right now. Even Splitsville has some food in there. So there's plenty of different kinds of options that you could choose from. I think CityWorks actually originated in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. So this is their like first Florida location, and I'm honestly impressed.
You had me at fried pickles, so.
Sydney says she loved the breading on the fried pickles was excellent.
You're making me think of, I saw Birds of Prey last week. Rooster Teeth held a screening because they're owned by Warner Brothers, and I got to go. And Alamo has delicious fried pickles, and now you're making me think about it.
Yeah, I can't do pickles. I can't.
Oh, man, I love fried pickles. Only fried, though. I don't like regular pickles unless they're bread and butter pickles. But anyway, I think this is great, especially because they're working on that new Cirque du Soleil show. People are going to need a place to, like, go eat after they get out.
Exactly. And they have a couple of, like, bar areas outside the restaurant you can walk up to and grab a drink. So you don't have to go inside if you just want a drink.
See, that's perfect. And they're going to need it in the next couple months for sure.
Exactly.
All righty. Next up, you probably can't get one, but fast passes are now available for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway at Disney's Hollywood Studio.
Talking about the fast pass again. Here we go.
No, I had to preface it because so not only do I write the stories for Attractions Magazine, but I schedule them in our social media scheduling app. And I scheduled this one and people were like, they're already all gone. Like, but, okay, but I have to share it.
We can still share it because yes, they're now available and they're probably gone for the days they're available. But if you wake up every morning, you can try again for the next day. It's 7 a.m. when the fast passes drop.
Right. And then that's not to say that people will not suddenly cancel their fast passes. I mean, exactly. I would do that all the time when I lived in Orlando and like had a pass. I would book fast passes on a day that I thought I would be free and be like, I don't want to go anymore, and then cancel them all. And they were like, good rides. So you never know.
Exactly.
But yeah, you can now officially make fast passes for this attraction. It opens on March 4th. That's when the fast passes start. And also, interestingly enough, This is now a tier one attraction for the park.
It is. So now Hollywood Studios has three tier ones. It's the Millennium Falcon, Slinky Dog Dash, and Mickey and Minnie. And I would assume in the future, Rise will be added to it once they get rid of boarding groups. So there you go. And because they had currently until before, because I think all the tier changes this week once Millennium Falcon starts up for officially. Currently, the tier ones are Slinky Dog, Alien, Toy Story, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Tower. So now they're moving Alien, Coaster, and Tower into tier two, which is great because it was always like if you wanted to ride Coaster and Tower, you had to choose which one. So now you'll be able to choose both if you want.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there a point in time where we had three tiers of attractions?
I think they've only been two.
Yeah. Maybe there should be three.
I think there's only been two. Like you only pick one from tier one, and then the rest of your fast passes you can choose from tier two.
Because I'm not gonna lie, when Rise gets fast pass, that's gonna suck. That's gonna be so hard to choose when you're planning vacations. And like Josh and I have just done this, but we aren't staying on property, and that kind of hurt us as far as fast passes go, because we could only book 30 days out with our tickets, whereas if you stay on property you get like 60 or 120 days depending on your package and everything.
Right.
So pretty much all the good stuff, all the new stuff is gone already. So I can't even imagine what it'll be like when you have to choose between the four like new rides at the park versus everything else, and you can only get one.
I'm just hopeful that means I'll be able to get Slinky Dog easier now, because Spencer wants to ride that one every time. I'm like, sorry, it's not available.
Another thing that is different about Mickey and Minnie as far as their Fast Pass go versus Falcon and Rise, they're going to have a standby line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In addition to FastPass. So if you can't get one, you can do FastPass and walk through that beautiful Chinese theater building and remember what once was.
Well, who knows like exactly like what route the FastPass line will take as opposed to the standby line. We won't know until March 4th. Your FastPass is, well, I think, around noon or 1 o'clock, like midday.
I think it was noonish. I'll have to check.
I got a fast pass for me, Ava, and Spencer. We're going to do Early Night Live that night from Mickey and Minnie, because it's not often that we get to do the Early Night Live on a day a ride opens.
Yeah, that's some cosmic timing right there.
Exactly. So that worked out perfectly. That's opening on a Wednesday. And then I booked another one for like that Friday or Saturday so I can take Spencer after school. We were able to get a Slinky Dog Fast Pass too, so that'll be good. I'm excited to ride it. I have high hopes for this ride.
I'm excited just because I don't know what the inside looks like. I mean, all we've seen is Disney released a video, I think a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, that showed the teeny tiniest look at the ride vehicles and the load area, and then we got one shot of a hallway, and that was it. And I just want to know what this thing looks like. I want to see the animatronics. I want to see the ride environment. We know nothing. We know next to nothing. It's very much unlike Rise of the Resistance, where we saw like press photos of certain sections of the ride, clips from commercials. We know nothing about this.
Yeah, it's actually kind of nice to be going in blind. I'm sure we're going to be seeing a lot more over the next few weeks leading up to the opening. I know, Brittany, you're actually going to be going and covering it for us for the opening media event.
Yes.
So you'll get to see it a little early as well. So I'm very excited because I think the marquee looks great. It's a very reminiscent of old school Hollywood at night. I think the top of it, the lights move a little too fast. Maybe they could slow them down, but I like the way the lights look.
Josh found out a thing the other day. The top of it, like the crisscrossy thing at the top of the lights, that's actually based on actual neon from old Hollywood. Like that is a copy of an exact place. I'd have to look it up specifically, but they modeled it exactly to that original neon.
I love that. I'm a sucker for neon. And Hollywood Studios is probably the best park at Walt Disney World for neon lights. So this will be a good addition for that. I can't wait to see it in person. But
it's a gorgeous fabrication for sure.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Next up, this is a little me thing because I watched it last night and I was very excited. Did you get to watch any of the Oscars last night?
I didn't get to watch because Spencer was sick last night. But I was trying to catch up this morning and see, you know, who won and what moments happened and things like that. So you just talk about it and I'll give my thoughts.
Okay. So it was weird. No host as usual. Some of the jokes fell really flat for me. Someone said Chris Rock made a very crude joke that I didn't think was super necessary in the opening monologue. Eminem performed for some reason.
I think I saw that, and I think what it was, if I'm not mistaken, someone was talking about there was like a, before that performance, there was a montage of like best songs from the year over the years, and they showed his song, because his song won best song like 13 years ago at the Academy Awards, Lose Yourself. And so that was part of the montage. And then he came out to perform it because the year his song was nominated, he didn't get a chance to go and perform it live. So this is kind of like a, hey, he finally made it 13 years later.
Yeah, it was just, it felt very random. Like, yeah, they were talking about music and film, but like out of all the possible performers that could have showed up, I did not expect that. Idina Menzel performed Into the Unknown, but she performed it with nine vocal performers who did the singing voice for Elsa in their respective release countries, which was really cool. Yeah, it was awesome. She did great. And then Elton John performed, and Penelope Cruz made a joke about holding an Oscar on stage, and she was holding Oscar Isaac's hand. So that was nice. And I had like, I saw most of, I would say about half of this year's nominees for the most part. So I had my like ideas in mind of who I wanted to win. So I'm just going to run through everybody that won everything. Well, the ones that are important.
Right.
Okay. Best Supporting Actor went to Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Best Animated Feature Film was Toy Story 4.
Do we want to give our quick thoughts real quick? So
For each one.
Did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yes, I actually saw it in 55mm film downtown. It was awesome. Yeah, it was so cool.
I finally got a chance to watch it a couple weeks ago. I adore that film so much. Like, yeah, nothing really overarching plot-wise happens. It's mainly a love letter to, you know, 1960s Hollywood, and that's all it needs to be. Like, it's just so gorgeous, and it's so fun to get that kind of, like, look behind the scenes of movie making and follow this actor's journey, and then, you know, with the whole Manson murder plot as well, and integrating that into it and kind of, spoiler alert, rewriting history. That's what I love. I just, something about Quentin Tarantino's films that I just really adore.
Yeah, he really took such an understated route with this film, and I absolutely loved how he handled Sharon Tate's fate and everything. It felt so honoring and like revering her position in Hollywood and the impact that what happened to her held on people. When I went, I remember hearing people like sniffle at the end because they were just so moved. Like, this is what could have happened, how history could have gone. Mm-hmm. And it was like we were looking into a window, and outside of that window was 1960s Hollywood, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, and Brad Pitt was great in that, so I definitely think that he deserved this win.
Mm-hmm. He was a delight. All right, Best Animated Feature Film went to Toy Story 4.
This is probably one of my first disappointments.
Yeah. Yeah,
I honestly felt like Frozen 2 should have been nominated.
Thank you.
I felt like that was a big snub because I felt Frozen 2 was better than Toy Story 4. Since it didn't get nominated, of the ones that were nominated, I felt like it should have either gone to Klaus or Claws, I should say, Claws or How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I have not seen any of the other animated feature film nominees, but I think Klaus would have been a nice change from like a major studio animated film winning to like a Netflix movie or something.
Yeah.
Let's see. Best Original Screenplay. Shockingly, I thought it was going to go to Rian Johnson for Knives Out, but it went to Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
Which was probably the first hint of some great things coming for this movie.
Dude, listen, more like Parasweep.
Oh, it's pretty cool.
Have you seen Parasite?
Still have yet to see it. Is it available digitally yet?
Someone I follow on Twitter was talking about how they bought it to stream, so I think you might be able to watch it now.
I'll have to watch it. I've said in the past, I'm very much not a reading moviegoer. Like, I don't really watch foreign films because I have a hard time reading the sentence and paying attention to the visuals. I feel like I'm missing a part of a movie while I'm reading. So it may take me some time to watch this film. But I mean, I've heard so many great things about it that I definitely want to give it a shot.
It's one of my favorite films of last year by far. And I will say, I like foreign film. I like subtitled works of cinema. But this kind of, it like transcends its international film-ness. Mm-hmm. And I found the reading the subtitles and watching everything unfold on screen, because it unfolds so like slowly and meticulously, to not be any kind of hindrance to my enjoyment of it at all. So,
all right, that's good to know. That's very good to know.
Yeah. Best Adapted Screenplay went to Taika Waititi for Jojo Rabbit, yes, which I did not see coming at all. I thought Greta Gerwig was going to get it for Little Women. But
I love that Taika got it.
Yeah, I'm happy. I would have been happy with either one getting it. He seemed very happy. His speech was very like short, quippy, but he seemed thrilled on the inside.
Did you see the clip that Brie Larson posted of him putting his Oscar under the chair?
Yes. He was like, he had his Oscar and he was sitting in a seat and he was like trying to slide it under the chair in front of him so he could get up. Because later in the show, they had him come up on stage and acknowledge the indigenous people's lands that mm-hmm. the Oscars were taking place on, and like acknowledging them and their presence and everything, which was super meaningful. I don't think that's really been done before at the Oscars. So he was going to have to get up out of his seat to go do that. And he had his Oscar and was like shoving it under his seat. And it is super funny. It's all over Twitter. You could probably find it. All right, let's see. Best Production Design went to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Best Costume Design went to Little Women.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Best Supporting Actress. I wanted to see Florence Pugh win it for Little Women because it always makes me happy to see younger up-and-comers win these awards, so that way it's more based on merit and not just like you've paid your dues in Hollywood, you deserve this. But Laura Dern won for Marriage Story. I haven't been able to bring myself to watch that yet, but she's great. I love her.
Holdo.
Yeah. I also would have been happy to see Scarlett Johansson win for Jojo because she's phenomenal in that film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her character serves as like the emotional gut punch of the whole thing, and it's just beautiful.
Oh no, I finally saw it, and I know what you're talking about.
Oh God, breaks my heart. It's so good. Mm. You gotta watch it if you haven't. Best Cinematography went to Roger Deakins for 1917,
which I completely think that's deserved. If you've seen that film, like it is, like what they do in that film, like presenting it like it's basically one shot, and the way that they cut it together is just so ingenious.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but it's on my list for sure. Visual effects, best visual effects, also went to 1917.
Mm-hmm.
The first snub for Disney, which held 3 of the 5 nominations in this category.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, for Avengers Endgame, Lion King, and Rise Skywalker.
Huh. I would have thought that maybe they would give it to Avengers.
No. They snubbed hard on these films. And Rise of Skywalker lost again for sound editing.
That was its only two nominations, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Womp womp.
Bad movie. Anyway, international feature film, which used to be best foreign language film, but they changed the category name this year, went to Parasite, which is a film from South Korea, in case you didn't know. Gotta see it. Best original score went to Joker. This is his first award of the night. Do you have thoughts on this? Have you seen it?
I have.
And?
I have.
Yeah.
It's a good film. It's definitely a very emotionally heavy film with its themes and some of the visuals, but I don't know what to think about it.
I did not like it. I can appreciate its art and what it was trying to accomplish, but I found it extremely irresponsible in its portraiture of mental illness.
Yeah.
And it really stressed me out. I love a psychological thriller and these kinds of movies just as much as the next guy, but something just felt inherently wrong with this movie to me when I watched it. And it is the only movie that I can ever think of in recent memory where I was sitting in the theater after the credits rolled and I was like, I never want to see that movie again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, for best original song, I'm Gonna Love Me Again from Rocket Man won, which was cool because Elton John said he's never been nominated for this award before, and he won.
That's awesome. Like, I honestly, I thought that Show Yourself should have been nominated instead of Into the Unknown. Agreed. I thought that was the better song from Frozen. But I haven't seen Rocket Man yet, so... I'm assuming original song. He wrote it, but he wrote this song specifically for the movie.
I'm under that impression too. I haven't seen Rocket Man either. I would imagine it's like it's probably toward the end, or it's like an end credit song or something.
Right.
But
still, I mean, good for him. He's written so many great songs.
And Taron Egerton, who plays Elton John in the film, looks like he just had a blast. So I definitely want to catch it.
Yeah.
All right. Best director went to Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
Here we go.
Yeah. The sweep continues. And he said when he received this award, he was like, what did he say? I'm going to drink tonight or something. When he won, which I thought it was so funny. He was just so like overwhelmed, and there's one point where the camera caught him like looking down at his Oscar and like he doesn't believe that it's real and it's in his hands, and it was so sweet.
Oh, I love it, really, because he also did The Host, correct?
Yeah, and Snowpiercer and Okja.
Yeah, because I have seen The Host, because I do love a good monster movie, and I did love Host.
Yeah, I think you'll really enjoy Parasite. I really do. Because it's like four different movies in one.
I saw a clip from like the red carpet interviews with him, and someone was asking him a question. I think the question was phrased as like you've done all these films and you've done Parasite. Like, how do you explain like your process of like of coming up with these ideas? And he just goes, I'm an effing weirdo.
He is, and I love him. Oh my goodness, he's a precious being. I love him. He's so funny. And he signed a deal recently with HBO to do a Parasite series.
Oh.
I think it's going to be 6 episodes, but it's like Parasite extended. And it goes into more of the backstories of the various secondary and tertiary characters of the film. So that'll be cool. I don't know when that's supposed to come on HBO, but it's an HBO exclusive they're working on. Best actor We all know who I wanted to get it. But it went to Joaquin Phoenix for the Joker.
Of course, because, you know, I think Heath Ledger was a better Joker, honestly. But and I agree with you about your thoughts on the portrayal of mental illness. It's just, I mean, yeah, obviously, I'm sure Joaquin did a lot of work and probably went through a lot of stuff to do this role. And he does a good job in the role. He did a great job for what it is. So I can understand why he got the award, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that there is a lot to be said about an actor who, portrays a monster on screen and therefore believes he has to act like a monster offset.
Yeah. That method acting kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that's BS.
Yeah.
And I, from what I've seen of Marriage Story and what I know of Adam Driver's work in general, because I've known about him and watched his stuff since he was on Girls on HBO years ago. He brings such, I don't know, honesty and sincerity to his roles. And in Marriage Story, it's about this couple who they're involved in the entertainment industry and they have a child and they choose to go through a divorce, and you watch the whole ugly thing unfold. And I feel like he's more than earned his place. And I feel like he's the next Leo DiCaprio, where we're going to wait 20 years before he gets an Oscar.
Yeah.
Best actress went to Renee Zellweger for Judy. Mm-hmm. I had hoped that Saoirse Ronan would have won for Little Women. I haven't seen Judy, but it looks good.
And I haven't seen Little Women. Apparently, it's gotten a lot of nominations.
It's so good. Little Women
Isn't
was
just
the first...
another remake of the same story?
Yes, but it's presented non-linearly. Is that a word? So the film starts in like the part two of Little Women, and then it bounces back to part one.
Oh, okay, so kind of like what Quentin Tarantino likes to do, especially like in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, and it just pops back and forth between the part two of Little Women and part one, and everything is different. The color grading is different. The girls act more youthful, obviously, because they're like 12. Everything is presented differently, and it's a gorgeous film, and it really explores the true heart and the themes of Little Women, which are growing up, you know, leaving childhood behind, love, self-acceptance, self-actualization. It's a gorgeous book, and I hold it really close because that was the first like novel I ever read in my life.
Okay.
So I really love it, but Greta Gerwig is something else. It's so good, and that cast is phenomenal. And there's one member of the cast that I won't tell you who it is, but when he shows up, it's like the biggest surprise.
You're gonna have to tell me this later.
Yeah, if you don't get a chance to watch it. But there was one cast member I had no idea he was in the movie at all, and when he showed up, I was like, what? All right, and then Best Picture, no surprise, went to Parasite.
Now, is this the first time I can think of that a film has won both Best Foreign or International Film and Best Picture?
I believe so, and it is also the first time that a film that is entirely not in English has ever won Best Picture.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's absolutely wild. And then that night was the first time South Korea had ever won an Oscar for one of their films, and this I found out this morning. Bong Joon-ho has won as many Oscars in one night as Walt Disney.
Wow.
Yeah. Walt is the only other person that's ever won that many Oscars at one ceremony.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I'm hoping this is like a good turning tide for the future of these award ceremonies or more inclusion.
Yes, agreed. I am very disappointed that no female directors were nominated for Best Director. And there were so many good female directed films like Hustlers. Little Women didn't get Best Director nomination. And Yeah, Laureen Scafaria did Hustlers. The Farewell didn't get a single nomination. And it just, they need to be better. Or maybe just start, like, pushing out all the old people that's on the voting committee. Mm-hmm.
Also, can we get someone who's actually competent in compiling names for the In Memoriam? Because there were two big snubs for the In Memoriam that I'm like, how can you forget these two?
There were three that I noticed. Which were the two that you saw?
Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Which I know a lot of people are saying, oh, he was a TV actor, but he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Right. That was the exact same thing I said.
And then also Sid Haig.
Yeah.
You know who Sid Haig is, right?
Yeah, I know who Sid Haig is. He's been doing movies for like 50 years.
Yeah. Like, how could they forget him? Just because he may be just a horror person.
Yeah, but that doesn't make his contributions to cinema any less. They also didn't include Cameron Boyce, which he was a Disney Channel actor, sure. But he was in the Grown Ups movies with Adam Sandler.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. It's just, I don't understand why they leave people out, honestly.
And then Kirk Douglas just died, too.
But they got him in there.
Oh, yeah, and Kobe Bryant.
Kirk Douglas was the last one in the segment.
Yeah, so no excuses, Hollywood. How dare you?
Yeah.
Also, I was a little ticked. The opening dance number for the show, Janelle Monáe was the performer.
I didn't watch it.
She had dancers on stage in costumes from Us, Midsommar, Dolomite Is My Name, and Queen and Slim, all four, which were not nominated at all for anything.
Maybe that was a decision of hers to, like, highlight these movies that should have been nominated?
Yeah, and two of them were horror films, so you know that they're going to get ignored. Also, I'd like to point out that during that opening number, they put Ben and Ray's kiss on the big screen, and someone took a screenshot of it, and it was really great.
Really? They did?
Yeah, they did. It was during the dance number, and then I saw it, and I was like, what? And then they cut from the kiss on screen to, I think it might have been Laura Dern clapping, and then cut to Adam Driver, and he had this big, stupid smile on his face. It's like, Adam Driver's a Raylo baby.
Yeah, he is.
You love to see it.
So, all in all, it seems like a lot of people that deserve to win got to win.
Yeah, and a lot of diverse wins at that. It felt good to see it. Normally, the Oscars are, like, super disappointing. Once you really get into, like, the meat and potatoes of the year's releases in film. But last night was actually fun, shockingly.
Yeah. Well, there's no reason for me to go back and watch it now that I know everyone who won.
Yeah. I would say if you could find, like, a highlights reel or something, that's good enough.
Also, apparently, I think I saw a photo. Apparently, James Corden and Rebel Wilson came out dressed up as their cats characters.
Yes, it was horrible, and I hated it.
Why?
Because they thought it was funny, and then they spent, like, a good 30 seconds on, like, I'm a cat, I'm hitting the microphone bit, and it was so stupid. They, like, hit it so hard that it, like, messed up the audio.
See, this is why they left out Luke Perry and Sid Haig, because they had to spend 30 seconds on a stupid cat bit.
It was, oh God, I hated it. I was like, why? Because I saw the camera cut to James Corden earlier in the night, and I was like, oh, he shaved his face. Now I know why. Whatever.
Yep. All right, well, that's it for the news in the queue. What's going on in the main attraction?
All right, so this is some big news, I would say. Disney announced last week that reservations for the newest unprecedented Star Wars experience coming to Walt Disney World, Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, are going to be opening up to book later this year.
There we go. So we don't have a date yet, we don't have a price yet, but we do know it will be this year that we can, well, I say we, like I'm never going to go, that
yeah,
you
right.
can book your stay.
So your this hotel experience, I guess you could call it, opens in 2021. We don't know specifically when, but it is a 2-day, 2-night vacation in which you will travel to the Halcyon, a space station, and experience a Star Wars cruise in space.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, with an excursion, a planet excursion to Batuu included. And it's like an all-inclusive type deal, I would assume. It's kind of built like a Disney cruise.
Yeah, and I really hope that they are kind of like learning the tricks of the trade from the cruise line, because after doing the cruise last November, like, I was so impressed and in love with how it went and everything, the amenities and the service. So I really hope that, like, when they are training the cast members to work this hotel and they're going through it, that they, you know, bring in people from the cruise line to show them, because, like, if they can make this like a Disney cruise line but Star Wars themed, then it's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah. And from, they released a video with new concept art, and there's images of, well, updated images of the staterooms. People, I saw that folks were concerned about the size of the port windows. So in your rooms, you're essentially going to be in a big box, and your window is a screen that looks out into space. That might trigger your cabin fever. But each stateroom will sleep up to 5, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine booking a 2-day, 2-night cruise with a room for 5, how much that would cost.
I don't even want to think about it.
And we're probably looking at a similar equivalent here. So upwards of the thousands.
Probably more, considering the IP.
Yeah, so you would get like that IP, like premium charge too. It also looks like there's going to be gambling of some kind. There's a sabacc table that shows like a virtual game going on, and there are bartenders and waitresses walking around with drinks. Everyone's in costume, which I wish that that was like a mandatory thing, but they haven't said anything about offering costumes to guests. So I cringe at the day that I would ever get to go in this building and see people in like cargo shorts and flip flops. But all we know is that reservations open later this year, and if you got the dough, you can go to space.
If you got the dough, you can go.
Well, I don't.
No. The only chance that I would even have to probably go to this is if they do some sort of media events, and God knows I'm probably not going to go to that.
Same.
So,
I would fly
someone
in for
else
it,
will
though.
Be going to that one. you know, you and I don't have a chance to go to that.
Yeah, I
know. So, I mean, and I don't think, as much as cool as it would be, I kind of hope they don't do where people can just come in and walk around. Because, you know, like, you can resort hop around Walt Disney World and just kind of walk around. You don't have to be staying there. I hope they don't allow that here, because you want to keep the immersion for the people that are paying to stay there. So you don't want just, like, you know, people walking around the lobby.
A way, you can't, because to enter this resort, sure, you get dropped off at the front. There's concept art of the front of the resort. You go in and you board a space pod vehicle of sorts that blasts you off into space, where you arrive on the Halcyon.
Yeah.
And I think Disney recently just patented new floor rumble technology that they'll probably use for this. So you can't just walk right in and be like, oh, I'm on the Halcyon. You have to go through that whole like boarding, unboarding.
Yeah.
Ride, basically.
Yeah. But the amenities that they've been, you know, touting have been pretty cool. Like, you're going to be able to do lightsaber training for both adults and kids. So, like, even so, I would finally be able to get to do some lightsaber stuff with Spencer. They had said, and they didn't mention in the recent video, but they have mentioned in the past, that the Halcyon will be fully, like, you'll be able to walk around it and find hidden passages and find hidden areas where you can, like, hold secret meetings, and you can choose if you want to be good or bad. Like, when the First Order comes, if you want to tell them what's going on and be a sympathizer, you get to kind of, it's basically Star Wars LARPing. It really is.
I really want them to take like a scum and villainy approach to this whole thing. Like, kind of the seedier parts of the prequels, you know? That's what I want. That's what I want out of this. I think there's also, you get a tour of the bridge of the ship during your stay, which is neat. And I think you get to learn how to pilot the ship and operate its battle things, like the lasers and stuff. And
just in case something were to happen.
It would be a shame if something happened, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh. Also, they're doing, like you mentioned, the planet excursion to Batu and to visit Black Spire Outpost. And the way they're doing this is pretty ingenious because, you know, obviously you're supposed to be in space, so you're not going to see the daylight. So you don't want to hop like a regular Disney transport bus because that'll kind of kill the illusion. So they're going to have specially designed buses that are completely themed to keep you in the immersion of walking off the Halcyon onto this shuttle and then blasting off, and you're going to be able to see you leaving the Halcyon, going through space and landing on Batu. And I'm assuming they're going to be building some kind of new bus stop or bus loop at one of the gates, backstage gates of Galaxy's Edge for you to get off the shuttle, and then you'll be, boom, right there in the land.
Yeah, and they showed a look at the bus, or at least what the outside of it will look like, though I'm not sure you'll even see it when you're boarding. And it's got like the Black Spire Outpost logo on it, and it's got Orabesh on it. It looks really cool. And it fits with the theming, though you're probably not going to see it at all.
No.
But I'm really interested to see how it goes. I'm interested to see how they price it, because this is like, everyone's going to want to do this. But it is a premium experience. This is like Disney for the rich. So I wonder if they're going to offer any kind of way to make it accessible for your average guest. Or if we'll even be able to get reservations at all, because they'll get booked up in a snap.
I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, honestly, it stresses me out.
Like, I'm resigning myself to the fact that I'm probably never going to experience this thing in my life.
Yeah, unless I win the lottery or something. I wonder if they would do like DVC. Like, are they going to pair DVC with this and you get like special perks,
or you can make this your
home resort? There's so many things. And it's like, can you book a Star Wars only vacation where you stay at Galactic Star Cruiser, you only have like one day at Galaxy's Edge, and they offer like a Galaxy's Edge only ticket or something?
Well, that's the thing though. Like, it's not, you can't stay more than two nights. Like, it's two nights. That's it. So DVC, you know, you couldn't stay a week. That's not going to be allowed. It's an interesting way to do it, but it's going to help keep people moving through the hotel.
It's going to help people from going crazy with no windows, no sunlight.
Yeah, the cabin fever is going to be real with this thing, because like, you want to be able to like stand outside and look at the sun every now and then. So it's going to be interesting to see how they, if some people like start having like panic attacks, if they will allow them to like walk out a side door or something, and just get some fresh air. I assume you'd have to.
Because that would be, like, I would love to do it, but sunlight and the weather has a direct effect on my emotional health, so I don't know how well I would do in this. I would definitely try it if I had an opportunity to, but yeah, I would be very interested to see what their contingency plan is, because not everybody is like, I can stay in a dark room with no windows for two nights.
Yeah.
And also, who's going to stop people from booking two nights and then staying in another resort and then coming back for two more nights?
This is true.
So we'll see. It's true.
Yeah. And I'd be interested if, because I know you're going to Galaxy's Edge, but like, if anyone's able to freely leave if they want to go visit other parks, or if you have to stay in here.
Right, because who's going to stop you? Are they going to have a cast member stationed at both entrances to the land, like, scanning magic bands, be like, oh, you're a Galactic Star Cruiser guest? Turn right back around, buddy.
You got to stay in the land. You got to be immersed, damn it.
What if I want Mama Melrose for lunch?
Too bad.
I paid so much money.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out the details of all this later on.
Yeah, for sure. I would assume I will probably hear something by summer, I would imagine. Isn't there a Destination D this year, too?
Yes, there is a Destination D in November. So, yeah, there's a good chance that we'll probably find out more about it then. Probably find out more about the 50th anniversary celebration for Walt Disney World.
True.
There's still a lot more to come.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that is going to do it this week. Hope everyone enjoyed listening. For those who have never gotten to listen before, if you want to give us any feedback on things we've talked about or things you want to hear, want to see us do or see, like you can see us. This is sound waves. you can hear us do. You can email us at info@attractionsmagazine.com. Put the Attractions Podcast in the subject line. We'd love to hear your feedback. We're excited to open the airwaves up to more people to come in and join us.
Yeah, we have yet to receive feedback or questions, so please send them to us. I think it'd be fun to put a little Q&A or something at the end, like how Expansion Drive used to do back in the day.
Exactly.
That would be nice.
We love chatting with our listeners. I keep wanting to say viewers. I'm in the attraction show mindset here. The listeners. So, Brittany, go ahead.
I was going to say it'd be a little tricky to make this a video podcast.
It would be, considering we're both in different states.
Yeah. Think of the video headaches you would have to go through.
I don't want to. Let's not think about this idea. Brittany, where can everyone find you out there on the interwebs?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny. On Twitter and Instagram, and at twitch.tv/BritPlays. That's Brit with 3 T's.
Lots of spell funnies.
Yep, lots of spell funnies.
You can find me on Twitter at Banks Lee, at Disney Goofball on Instagram, and of course, all of the Attractions Magazine socials on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and attractionsmagazine.com. Next week, I don't even know why I'm teasing anything. We have nothing to do. We'll see what happens this week. So we'll talk about it next week. What is going on with me? I'm like in show mode right now.
You're like throwing out word vomit right now.
Guys, please keep listening. It's not like this every week.
It is kind of like this every week.
Yeah, I guess it is like this every week. It's my little quirk. All right. Fun. Until next week, everyone, we hope you get out there and have fun. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.